Welcome to the Sports Medicine Podcast, brought to you by the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology at Texas A&M University. At the Huffines Institute, we're always working to facilitate, apply, and bring you the most up-to-date coverage of the wide world that is sports medicine and human performance, all in a language you can understand and share with your friends. And now, here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Hello, and welcome to the weekly podcast from the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance. I'm your host, Tim Lightfoot, and I'm so glad that you're taking the time to download us and you're listening. Every week, we strive to bring you an interesting person in the world of sports medicine, human performance, and general health many times. And this week is no exception. We are so pleased to have Ms. Jennifer Simmons with us. Welcome to the podcast, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you. I'm going to tell the folks a little bit about you and why we have you on, and then we'll just jump into the conversation. Jennifer is currently the lead exercise physiologist at Iredell Memorial Hospital in Statesville, North Carolina. She does what we all call there cardiac rehabilitation. She has a master's degree in clinical exercise physiology from the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. She was one of my former students many years ago. Actually, she was one of the first three students that we had. Actually, it was the first ever program in clinical exercise physiology in the country. And she is a certified health fitness specialist. She's a certified exercise specialist. And she's also a registered clinical exercise physiologist. And those are the three highest clinical certifications that you can have as an exercise physiologist, and it gives her the credentials to work with a wide variety of disease populations. So, again, welcome to the podcast, Jennifer, and we're so glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to talk about cardiac rehab today. So let's start off with the easy question, okay?
Okay.
What's cardiac rehab?
Cardiac rehab is a great program that everybody needs to come to if they have any kind of heart event.
Okay.
What it does is it helps build your heart back and kind of helps you recover from your event. It teaches you how to go back to do the activities of daily life, and it involves nutrition and an exercise program.
So I think many people think of cardiac rehab as only exercise, and you may, and we'll get back to the exercise part in a minute, but you just mentioned that it's kind of a holistic approach with a bunch of different things in it.
It is. There's an opportunity to meet with a dietitian and learn about heart healthy eating, cooking, shopping as far as food, and then there's a mental, emotional health aspect where you meet with a counselor and deal with stress, anxiety, things like that.
Now, is that special just to Iredell Memorial Hospital, or is that kind of a national standard, that kind of holistic approach to cardiac rehab?
It's a national standard.
Yeah, isn't there something like you guys can't get reimbursement unless you have that kind of holistic program?
Exactly.
So, and it's all about reimbursement, isn't it?
It is these days.
Now, we just jumped in and we talked about cardiac rehab, but are those same principles applied to anything else like respiratory or any other kind of rehab programs?
Yes, pulmonary and cancer rehabilitation.
So that all kind of falls under that umbrella as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back up, I guess. When I was growing up, which was many, many years ago, when you had a heart attack, you were in the hospital for 2 weeks, or at least two weeks, and they didn't want you moving around. That's not the way it is anymore, is it?
No. We see people 2 to 3 days after having a stent placed, after having an MI, they come in to have a stress test to see, you know, where their baseline is, what they're able to do, and we start from there.
Yeah. They try to get them out of bed pretty quick, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next day after heart surgery.
They've got them up and walking around, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's unlike the old days. Now they want you up and moving around. Is there anything special that you do with folks that are, aren't you concerned when folks come in a couple of days after they've had a heart incident that, they may have another one right there on you?
Well, I try not to think about that, actually. we are very cautious. We're monitoring blood pressure, heart rhythm, heart rate. You know, we know their medications, and we start them out very slow. You know, we let them start where they think they can, and we gradually increase their intensity or the duration of their exercise until they're comfortable with us.
Yeah, and most times you've got a real-time monitor on, so you're watching their heart rhythms
Yes.
as they go, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I read somewhere that the chance of a heart attack or a cardiac event during exercise, especially in someone that's had a cardiac event already, was about 1 in 26,000. Is that about right?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So that's not a real big chance that something else is going to happen again, is there?
No.
Yeah. So what are some of the benefits of cardiac rehab?
Well, physiological?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, any benefits. Why would you recommend? Let's say that one of your parents had a heart attack and they're talking about whether or not they're going to do cardiac rehab. I mean, I've seen numbers that suggest only about 20% of the people that are qualified for cardiac rehab actually go through cardiac rehab. I mean, what's something you would tell someone that's a benefit of doing cardiac rehab and why they should do it?
I mean, overall, it really helps you build up your confidence and get over any kind of fear you may have. You know, a lot of people are afraid to move. They're afraid to do anything that it puts exertion on their body. And so just, you know, gives them the confidence to go back and live their life.
So that's a big issue that people are afraid of doing just daily things?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of fear.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And we've had... Here lately, we've had several people that had their event while they were, you know, out playing sports or playing with their kids or even exercising. And, you know, they're scared. You know, who wouldn't be?
Yeah. I'm assuming that you guys don't put them on sprint training immediately. What's kind of the thing that you would do for, you know, in the first week or so after a heart event? I know you said you kind of let them go at their own pace, but is there any specific exercises that you do?
If they don't have any balance issues, if they're able to walk without any disturbances, then, of course, we do a treadmill. We have a little sit-down step mill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard of the new step, the sit-down stepper,
mm-hmm.
Your bike. And for a lot of people who do have orthopedic problems, we have the upper body cycle, which is a cycle for their arms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we start most people. And, you know, our goal is for them to be able to do 15 minutes without stopping,
mm-hmm.
increase their intensity from there. And then as they become more endurance, we move them to more difficult things like the standing stepper, an elliptical, or a rowing machine.
So it's like training?
Yes.
Yeah, so it gets harder as they go along.
Yes, that's what everybody tells me. They say I don't leave them alone. I make it harder.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So about how long does someone go through cardiac rehab?
36 visits to us.
You sound pretty specific on that.
Yes, that's insurance mandated. But, 36 sessions.
So whether they're done or not in 36 sessions, they're done.
Sometimes with special circumstances, we can get extensions from their physicians. If it's people who are having a lot of stable angina or they're on the list for a heart transplant, we can keep them longer.
Mm. So do you see most of your patients 3 times a week or twice a week?
3 times a week.
So you're looking at a 12-week program there?
Yes.
Yeah. So we come back, and you said that one of the reasons to do cardiac rehab was to increase their confidence. Are there any other benefits to that, to doing cardiac rehab?
Well, it helps lower their blood pressure, helps lower their cholesterol, and that way they can hopefully decrease the amount of medications they take.
Hmm.
That's a big thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Decreasing their meds.
That'd be a big positive. Mm-hmm. Does it decrease the chance of them having another cardiac event?
It does. A lot of statistics will show that people who have had a heart event have the greatest chance of having another event within the first 3 months after their initial event.
So if you have one, you've got the biggest chance of having another one within 3 months, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we like to capture people right after their event. So they're with us, and we can watch if anything is escalating up to another potential problem.
Right, right. Well, with the cardiac rehab, then that also decreases that risk. So it's a kind of a double-edged benefit there, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So we talked about, I know over my career I've seen a lot of changes in technology, and the remote monitoring that we used to do on patients is just so much better now. What other kind of new changes in technology are you seeing, or have you seen in the last, say, 7 or 8 years that you think is changing the field?
Well, I have seen some changes in technology, not that I have it here.
Okay.
But, of course, now the use of... you know, devices like the iPads, a lot of places have it to where the monitoring is displayed on an iPad that people are walking around with and putting data on. And
really?
Mm-hmm. Being able to control exercise equipment from devices such as, you know, some kind of portable device you can carry around.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I like that idea of that real-time monitoring for everybody almost.
Yeah.
Well, that would certainly cut down on the cost. So I'm sure they would just use like a Polar Heart Band or something like that that's streamed out to the iPad, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool. What else? I mean, that would certainly help the patients, I guess, take more control of their health
mm-hmm.
when they can see it like that.
And, you know, we're trying to really, you know, teach people not only the days that you don't come exercise here, but once you graduate, to be thinking of ways, okay, how am I going to monitor myself? So we really do try to encourage people to get something like the Polar Heart Rate Monitor or so they know what they're doing on their own.
Yeah, yeah. From my past history, working in cardiac rehab was very rewarding because you saw huge success stories.
Right.
You have any patient success stories that you'd like to share with us that maybe really have touched you?
I have several. One that really sticks out in my mind is we had a gentleman come through who had a severe cardiomyopathy, lived with chest pain, shortness of breath all the time, and was on the list for a transplant.
Mm.
And I think it was three Christmases ago, on Christmas Day, he got the call to go to the hospital to get his heart.
Mm.
And so he was with us, I believe it was about 4 weeks later, he was with us. Or, you know, the 3 month session, and on his first day, you know, right after you have a heart transplant, you're very weak.
Mm-hmm.
Not only from the actual procedure, but the medications that you're on to suppress your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So his goal was to play basketball, play like a game of horse with me when he finished cardiac rehab.
Okay.
I always told him, you know, I kept telling him, you know, I'll play. So after he finished his cardiac rehab, and he was, I mean, for his first day, he did maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes of exercise,
mm-hmm.
just out, wiped out, you know, and then progressively increased his exercise. And he became our poster child. He went to places and gave his success story about how, you know, it changed his life and how exercise now is part of his life. And it was about the next June, July, he and I met at a gym and had a game of horse. It was fun, you know. It was really great to see him kind of come full circle, you know.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask, of course, since this is a sports medicine podcast, who won?
Oh.
Now don't tell me you don't remember.
No, actually, he did.
Oh.
He did. Yeah. He played on a consistent basis. He went to after his rehab. He went and played with a group of men. He was about in his 60s.
So you're telling me he prepared for you, huh?
Yeah, he was a little more prepared than me. I haven't really had a lot of opportunity to practice my shooting, so. Yeah, he was a little better than me.
Yeah. So we have quite a few people that listen to this podcast, and they may have people in their lives that are looking at cardiac rehab or have cardiac events. I mean, we had a doctoral student here, you know, a couple years ago that had a heart event, and when they start considering cardiac rehab, what kind of qualifications are you looking for in the professionals that are going to be working in cardiac rehab that you're going to be working with?
Well, of course, people who are very caring and compassionate.
Okay.
People who see an opportunity to go help someone and they just go do it. You don't have to tell, you know, it's not like you have to direct people, this is what you're supposed to do when you're here. They just know, it's just like an instinct for them to go do something. We look for that a lot in our interns.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, some people just know what to do. They know, they see a situation like, let's say, for instance, a patient's on a treadmill exercising and their color doesn't look so good and you kind of notice they're getting a little short-winded and someone who knows to instinctively go over there and, you know, are you okay? Let's slow down. Let's stop. Let's get something to drink. You know, someone who kind of has that instinct of knowing what to do and not panicking, kind of what we're looking for.
So, well, what about educational? I mean, can anybody just walk in off the street and work in cardiac rehab?
No. I guess what you would call their basic qualification here would be a bachelor's degree in an exercise science field.
Mm-hmm.
Either the ACSM clinical exercise specialist or the registered clinical exercise physiologist certifications.
Okay. So people that are doing your job, they have some clinical training. It's a clinical profession like any other.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Super. And so while we're talking about those credentials, when did you decide you wanted to do cardiac rehab, and what kind of led you to that? I mean, that's one of the things that we often ask our guests is what led them to do what they're doing, and how can other people become like you?
Well, I was always interested in sports, medicine field, and I've always exercised, worked out. I've played sports, I mean, ever since I was a teenager, and I thought I was going to go the nursing route.
Mm-hmm.
I started out in nursing in high school and really liked it, but just wanted something more, something that I felt would be, I don't know, that I could take my interest in exercise and sports and really help somebody. And, of course, you know, physical therapy kind of comes into mind and things like that. But after I had a family member who was my grandfather, actually had a massive heart attack, and I became really interested in the heart.
Mm.
And just, you know, I really can't remember how I found out about exercise science. I when I was in high school, I decided I was going to go to Appalachian and thought, you know, something about athletic training and kind of go into sports medicine from there.
Mm-hmm.
And worked with a girl in the housing office who was an exercise science major, cardiac rehab, and, you know, I thought, well, that sounds kind of neat. You know, kind of put all my interests all in one, and then from there on, I just went down that road.
So, and it is interesting how many times we talk to people who have had a family member affected by whatever they wound up working in,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of led them to go on and try to make things better for people.
Mm-hmm. Really has an impact on you. You know, you really want to help prevent that for someone else or help with that situation.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. We're running a little short on time. And as we always do, we ask our guests to leave us with a take-home message that the audience can remember from this podcast.
Okay. My message would be, or is, as far as, you know, there's so many important things in life that we don't have a whole lot of control over, but things that we can control, we need to try to control in order to help our health. You know, your health is very important. I think exercise is something that you can do to keep your health. You know, everybody wants to stay in good health. So I would say exercise, try to plan your day around it daily, make it a part of your routine.
Great take-home message. Sounds like you've been listening to some of our past podcasts. That's one of the things we keep saying.
Okay.
So. There you go. Either that or you had really excellent professors in the past.
That is probably it.
That's probably it. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're more than welcome. And thank you all for listening, for taking the time to download and listen. And if you're a regular listener of our podcast, you know that at this point is when we do our podcast question of the week. And here with that question is Cheryl.
When is the greatest chance for a cardiac patient to experience a second cardiac event?
Excellent question. Be the first one to send us the correct answer to that question at huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu, and you'll win one of those nifty podcast T-shirts, and you will be the first listeners to win the third edition podcast T-shirt. So hurry in with those questions. So if you've won one of the ones before, now you can answer again, because now we've got a new edition T-shirt ready to go. And so with that, again, let me thank you all for listening. Jennifer, let me thank you again for taking time out of your busy day to visit with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And again, we hope that all of you join us next week for another interesting person in the world of sports medicine and human performance. And until then, we hope that you have an active and healthy week.
The Sports Medicine Podcast is produced by Cheryl Marek and Kelly Selman and licensed by the Huffines Institute at Texas A&M under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. You can share it as much as you want, and you can talk or blog about it all you want. Just don't change it or charge money for it. This podcast is made possible by support from the Omar Smith family and the Sidney and J.L. Huffines family. Our music was composed, performed, and graciously provided by Dave Zeltner Productions, your source for quality music and music production since 1992. Find them at www.davidzeltner.com. Our opening and closing credits were provided by John Miles Productions at johnmilesproductions.com. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huff Ines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.